Good evening, everyone. Welcome to Among the Realms. And once again, we're here at the Trinity Metaphysical Center at the Hardeston Plaza North on Route 23 in Hamburg, New Jersey. And tonight, we're going to be discussing connecting with the spirit realm. And so, once again, with me is Jackie.
Hello.
And Ron.
No worries.
And, of course, our beloved intern, Mercedes.
Hello.
And the Trinity Metaphysical Center is also the home of the eCrypt Ghost Hunters, the East Coast Research and Investigation Paranormal Team. So if you need anything investigated, you can contact us here. Phone number at Trinity is 973-209-7070. And also at our website at thetrinitymetaphysicalcenter.com.
Mm-hmm.
So take it away, Jackie!
So let's see what we're talking about tonight. We're talking about connecting with spirit and ghosts as well. So the first thing we're going to talk about is the spirit realm, which obviously that's, you know, the realm where either our loved ones have crossed over. It's also where, you know, for some people there's the angelic realm, and there's other realms where all types of spirits are. It's not our realm.
It's but, home.
Yeah, but it's just another realm, but they're with us all the time. So for some people, they do know their loved ones are with them, or if you're somebody who's into ghost hunting, you do, you know, when we're connecting with spirits, we know they're there and they want to communicate with us. And for some people, they just want to learn how to communicate or how to get their messages, how to receive them. A lot of times they do know when there's somebody around them, but they don't know how to connect with them. Or they get frustrated because maybe they're connecting a little bit with them, but not as much as they want to. So one of the things, you know, that we like to teach is how to develop your, you know, develop a higher awareness of spirits or ghosts or, you know. By the way, the reason I say spirits or ghosts is because, like, for us ghost hunters, we refer to ghosts as spirits that haven't, you know, crossed over yet, or they're still here.
They're on this side of the light.
Yeah. So that's why I'm used to referring to it that way. But one of the best things to do is meditation. And I know we've covered that before in a couple of previous episodes, where when you meditate, you are relaxing yourself and relaxing your mind and relaxing your body to the point where you can go into a deep, relaxed state, and you're empty. You know, you don't have the stuff going on from the day, and you're in a place where you can receive your messages. There's a lot of different meditations you can do. So there's a lot of ones available, guided ones. One to open your third eye, which we do on Tuesday nights for psychic development. One where you can actually go meet spirit guides or meet cross loved ones or all kinds of things. So meditation is a great thing if you can do that a couple times a week. And if you can, for some people, they like to take classes, which is, you know, something we offer also. But some people like to do, you can go online, you can, you know, read up on things, some techniques that you could do, some skills you can do. The other thing is crystals. Crystals are very good for developing your awareness. We were just talking about that, actually, the pendulums. Certain crystals have certain properties. So some are good for, you know, your spiritual side or awakening, you know, your third eye. Some are good for actually connecting in with spirits. So there's all different kinds of, you know, ones like that, amethyst and moldavite and, you know, crystal quartz. So, and wearing them very big. So a lot of people like to wear them. When we go on ghost hunts, we're always bringing our pocket of stones. We're wearing the crystal that we want to receive information with. And so I don't know, what is the techniques when we're doing class that you like the most, that you feel that you get the most out of?
I know that whenever I go into a meditation is when I get the most information. Like, a lot of times we'll go into meditations for other purposes, and I'll wind up accidentally doing mediumship because I guess I'm so open at that point that it allows the spirits to give me whatever information they want to give, and that works for me. And the pendulum. When we ghost hunt, I use a pendulum.
That's what you need.
Yeah, I had had quite a bit of luck with the pendulum. I didn't trust it at first. I wasn't sure that what I thought I was getting was, you know, legit. But then after having it confirmed in different places, then it's like I started trusting myself. So now I just believe whatever I'm getting.
Yeah, it's neat when it's on the recorder.
Yeah.
But those stones, you know, they help connect in with spirits. And I think when people get frustrated, and then we cover this a lot in class, is the more you want it, the more you're, like, consumed in your head with, I need to talk to my dad or I need to see my mom, it keeps it away because you're so obsessed and consumed with the fact that you have to, that you're not relaxed enough to get it. And that's the thing. It's, like, not putting any trying to do that. You just want to be in that calm, relaxed state, and then, you know, you can ask for information. And it, being in that more relaxed state when you're trying to connect in with the spirit is really important, because you won't. It's almost like we block that, you know, from coming in, or we'll get the frustration is what causes that. So you definitely want to try to, that's why the meditation is good. Because you definitely want to try to keep yourself in a more relaxed place when you're trying to get that, you know, and also not discounting anything. A lot of times people are getting their messages and they don't know they're getting their messages. You know, they either dismiss it or they think, because it'll be, maybe they'll get in synchronistic events, maybe they're getting, you know, maybe it's just like seeing things all the time, or like something that might remind them of somebody, and they're just like, oh, isn't that funny, blah, blah, blah. But there's always a reason. So usually when they're trying to communicate with us, and if there's a lot of things in a row, it's because they're trying to give us a message. And a lot of times they do come in when you're sleeping. You know, they come in when you're dreaming. So, you know, one of the things you want to do is make sure you are keeping a dream journal. That is good for being able to communicate with them, because you'll realize, you know, you're getting some type of message. And also just opening yourself up to whatever it is they want to tell you. The other thing that blocks it is fear, or being worried about what's going to come in. If you know you're going to connect in, you know you're just trying to connect in with a loved one, you know, that should be okay. But I always tell everybody to do some type of white light protection prayer or something like that before they're going to do any type of spirit work or try to connect in with anyone. And you can tell them, the ones that are, you know, intelligent spirits where they're actually, you know, letting you know they're there, they are communicating with you, you can ask them to do stuff, you know, show me a sign, show me this, you know, to see that they are there, to kind of have that proof. And for those of us, you know, who are used to using equipment, you know, there are people that like to get the voice recorders, you know, they like to do like a little, you know, question-answer session to see if, you know, whoever they think is there, and, you know, do it that way. We do that, you know, you can get the little voice recorders. They have them in Walmart. They're not that much, you know, do it that way. Or you can get the actual, you know, there are people who just get the equipment for, you know, they want to talk to their mom or dad or their brother or sister, you know, or maybe it's a friend, but they'll get the EMF detector, the, you know, the K2, you know.
Here's a question. Mm-hmm. Why in the world do they want to talk to us? You'd think the place would be crowded there. There'd be so many people to talk to. Why
just
bother?
Because they want to communicate with us just like they did when they were here. And it's frustrating when they're over there because, you know, they have to learn how to, you know, figure out how to communicate with us through somebody, or the best thing is when somebody is more open or welcoming it, that they know they can talk to that person. So they, sometimes people who are getting, like, you know, they kind of feel they're getting like a little creeped out, or they know that, like, pennies, coins, you know, that's a common thing that they leave, or moving things around, or moving things, you know, on a desk or a table, leaving things. Money is a big thing. The coin thing is a big thing. But they know that somebody's around or that they think they know who it is, and it's just that trying to figure out, okay, you know, I want to talk to them. I want to do this. I want to do that. And I have a lot of clients where they do. They actually get the voice recorder. You know, some of them actually set up a video camera. You know, and it depends if you're okay with what you're going to see. Too, so, because some of them set it up like when they go to sleep, you know. And for me, you can get your messages and your dreams and stuff, but I don't like them to be in my room when I'm sleeping. So I ask them not to come in my room when I'm going to bed because I want to sleep. And that's, you know, that's not how I want them to come in. Sometimes I just forget.
How can you tell, like, a visitation from just a regular dream?
Oh,
do you know the difference?
Yeah, a visitation will feel, you'll actually wake up tired. Like, you'll feel like you actually saw that person. You could almost feel them with you. It's a completely different feeling than when you're having a dream because you know I was dreaming. You know what I mean?
You go on a journey too.
Yeah, and you know, you could. It's just like a different feeling, which I know all of us have had. You know, a story where we said, you know, I know that wasn't a regular dream. You know, that was kind of, you know, all scattered or whatever. But when, you know, it's a parent or a friend or somebody who's crossed over that you've been thinking of and they come in there, you know, a lot of times when you are face-to-face with them and they are giving you information, you are having a question-answer session, you know. So there are some people who are a little bit, you know, get their information a little bit more that way. You know, they actually do it more in their dreams than, you know, connecting in with them, you know, when they're awake. But one of the things is if you're trying to connect in with them when you're awake, you have to be, like, okay with whatever you're getting for your information. Like I said, you don't want to be afraid. You definitely don't want to be afraid. But if you're doing it in a place where you're in a quiet place where you can actually try to see if you can hear or see, you know, the thing is the awareness part. So you got your senses are going to be sharpened anyway the more you do this, but being aware of every little thing that's going on and that type of thing, that's why I say it's good to leave to have a journal or to write things down. I mean, for us it's a little bit easier. We're doing it all the time.
So, what you got to be open to whatever's coming in your room or in your
Just open to receiving whatever, and for some people it's hard because especially if they're just starting, they get afraid. You know, they're worried. And if you do a protection prayer, you are bringing that in. You know,
I have some friends that they're very afraid of being contacted by spirits. They think I'm crazy for going ghost hunting. But I think the fear is, from what I can tell, is that they're not sure what's coming through. They're afraid of some evil entity believing it's their loved ones and, you know, being affected by negative energy, and they don't know the difference, and they're afraid of the unknown, I guess. And they don't know how to tell that it's really, you know, a loved one coming through or a friend or a relative.
Or something not good.
Right.
Yeah, how would you be able to tell them that?
When they're scared?
Yeah, in other words, like you said, the relatives don't come through something different than the relatives.
Yeah, that they're just afraid that... Yeah.
Well, normally if you're somebody who did your prayer and you protected yourself ahead of time, it shouldn't be that way.
So you didn't do that.
Yeah. If it didn't do that, that's when it's going to be where you have to... What you do is when you're first feeling it is right away say, you know, go back, either go back or I'm closing you off, you know, go back where you came from.
Push it away.
Yeah, you know, I mean, that's what we would do with anything, but you just say, you know, you're not welcome in my, you know, in my space, or you're not welcome here. And it's really kind of just taking ownership of your, you know, your...
How would you know that something's not about you?
Because most people don't. Most people won't. No. Most people won't know that unless they realize that they're starting to feel like more negative, or they feel like they just don't feel like themselves. And in those cases, what most people do is they'll either go somewhere and get a cleansing, or get to have see if somebody can validate what they're feeling. Because you can do that, you know, sage yourself, and like I said, you know, you sage, you saw, and do your prayers. And there's lots of people who I know have just through prayer, and I know when Charlie calls in, he's going to say that, that they literally could tell when something negative went away. And he just did that a couple weeks ago. You know, so, you know, saying your prayers and having a belief in something is definitely going to help with that. So if you are somebody who's feeling that, that's why I say don't have the fear.
Right.
I mean, we learn that even with what we're doing.
Right.
Like, not to go in a place with fear, because you're going to be the first,
attack.
You're an open target.
Yeah.
You know? You want to be educated.
They ask me how, you know, why I'm not afraid. And I just tell, you know, I'm not afraid of the negative. I said, because you just tell it you're not going to deal with it. And they don't believe it's that simple. They believe that the negative entities are so overwhelming and so powerful you have absolutely no control.
Yeah. We've been in some of those.
But I think you always have control. To an extent. You can connect with the positive higher power.
Yeah, it's just some people get overwhelmed. It's, sometimes the fear is crippling, and that's when they...
Suffocating.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, that's when they can't... They feel paralyzed, or then they... Oh, the worst part is when they feel like they did connect in with something, and then after that they're like literally obsessed with, oh my God, something bad's gonna happen to me. I know I connected in with something that, like, because you know what I mean. It's like,
yeah,
yeah, absolutely.
It'll be like an avalanche effect.
Yeah.
There's bad things out there. You just gotta watch out what you're doing. That's all.
Yeah.
Easily attracted back.
So, I don't know. I never really... Well, I've never felt anything particularly negative, and I don't really worry about it, because when I go into class, I just say, you know, if you're negative, I'm dealing with you, go away.
Well, that's the way to do it.
And so far, they haven't bothered me. But I don't believe that you can get something good out of something negative. So if it's a visitation that makes you feel good, that makes you feel positive,
mm-hmm.
that gives you, lifts your spirits, I don't think that was negative, because it's not going to have that effect
on
you.
No. And sometimes most people just want that, you know, they want to feel like somebody is with them, you know, somebody that they miss and somebody that they've been trying to, you know, communicate with. And I think that's the biggest thing that blocks them is their frustration part of it. Like, when they're trying to do it and they're doing everything and they think they're in this good place and they're trying so hard and they get so upset with themselves because I'm not getting anything. They're not talking.
Like, they're interacting.
And that's exactly what you're doing, because it's, you know, they're with us, and sometimes they are trying to communicate with us, and we accidentally, you know, push them, not necessarily on purpose, push them away, but we can't connect in, or they can't connect in, because we're all in our own stuff at that time. And that's the other thing. If somebody has a lot of things going on, maybe they're under stress, they're overwhelmed, that, and they're getting frustrated with, you know, how come I not get my information? That's why. You know, you're just not in that place where you can receive it. You know, trying to stay balanced and centered is difficult when you have a lot going on, and it's important when you're doing spirit work.
And it really is emptying your troubles
literally
into that basket.
Literally.
It's almost like you have to clear your head before you can receive whatever information they're trying to give you.
That's my problem. Never been good at clearing my head. Except when I'm sleeping. Then it's empty.
And that's probably when you get your information, but my issue is I get a lot of it when I sleep, and then I wake up and I don't remember it. So
that's how I can tell the difference between a dream and something else, because dreams disappear as soon as I wake up.
Fast you can think them up. That's how fast dreams go.
Yeah, and as soon as I wake up, they kind of dissipate, and I'll have this feeling like, boy, that was weird. But not be able to remember the details, just that it didn't make sense. But the other things I do remember, and they're in color, and they're in real time, or they feel like they're in real time. They're probably just as fast. But they're logical, and they make sense. like when my dad came to visit me after he died, that was very, very real. Because I was in my office and he came walking through the door. And I went, woo-hoo. I said, what are you doing here? You're supposed to be dead. So he just came to tell me he was fine. But the thing that I remember the most is that he looked like he did when he was in his late 20s.
Yeah, they come back the way they want you to see them. The way they feel something real soft.
Yeah. Sure.
So we have Charlie. That's called
Charlie?
Connected.
Our friend Charlie? Charlie's here? Sorry, Charlie.
I was just going to do that.
Charlie, you there?
And I had tuna for dinner tonight, huh?
How you doing, Charlie?
Good. You have a show tonight?
Yeah, we've been babbling away, you know, for...
I've been listening for like 15 minutes. Great.
So, I guess you're going to have a story for us, I'm hoping.
You want me to tell you about my connection with the spirit side?
Sure.
Okay.
How do you connect with the spirit side? How can you tell?
Well, it's kind of funny because I think I used to be able to, and then I think I lost it. And then coming to classes with Jackie, all of a sudden it seems to be coming back again, just like last night. We had our psychic development class. And we were trying to talk to spirits, and I'm telling you, if you just listen to the conversation, at least this is how it happens with me now, if I listen and all of a sudden I connect, it seems like I connect with somebody. They don't shut up. It's almost like, well, they're talking to me in my brain. And I can hear it, and it's almost like they're leading me through the conversation instead of me leading them. Last night during class, we were just supposed to see if we could get one of the spirits there in the shop, and my dad came through to me because we had the seance last Friday, and it was almost like he had no idea what I do on Tuesday nights. And he said to me, you do this every Tuesday night? And I was like, in my mind, I'm like, well, yeah. And then he sits there and he goes, you know what Jane told you? And this is Jane Doherty who did the seance for us. He says, you know what Jane told you? And I was like, yeah. And he said to me, well, you know, you don't have to do that. Now, this was something that she told me I should do with my dad who was passed, so that basically we would have a better relationship and I could let go of things. And he said to me, you don't have to do what she said. And he said, I know. It's okay. I know. And it was like a weight being lifted off my shoulders, because she told me that during the seance that my mom had basically, I guess, reprimanded my dad when he passed and he got over there to the spirit side because of some of the things that he said, which were, okay, now I'm 61 years old, okay, he died 2 years ago, so I was 59. Some of the things he said to me when he was living in my house were very, very hurtful. And I don't care if you're young, I don't care if you're old. When your parents talk to you like that, unless you've totally turned them off, it hurts. And he hurt me pretty deeply. And you know what? She told me that I should get out the backyard, maybe take something that was very personable to him and sit out in the yard with it and just connect with him and let him know how I felt, and he would probably take his make himself known to me, and we could basically come to an agreement as to how we would feel. But because of what he said to me last night in our psychic development class, it was almost like, you know, we did make that connection. I wasn't hearing what I thought he would say, so I'm pretty sure he was speaking to me. And it was just one of those times where everybody else was talking in the class, and I just had my eyes closed after very good meditation. And I knew he was talking to me. I knew it was him, period. I just know he was speaking to me. And then, of course, then we went on with the rest of the class, and my dad, once he said that, he said his piece, he was gone. And then I got somebody else talking to me. It was almost like, you know, line after line, you know, one person after the other. And sometimes you sit there and you say, am I really hearing this? Can I really trust what I'm hearing? I mean, am I thinking it? And maybe that's the case where I'm hearing it. And you know what? Does it matter? If you think you're hearing it, you're hearing it.
Yeah.
And if you don't think you're hearing it, you won't. So, I mean, you're right either way. Nobody's going to be able to tell you what you hear or what you don't hear unless it's audible. I mean, if it's in your mind and if somebody's talking to you through your mind, I'm telling you what, I would not have had any of these experiences, not one of them, unless I was taking the classes with Jackie in her shop. It's just amazing. And here I am, like I said, I'm 61 years old. I work in investments in a bank. And people would come into the bank and look at me and say, well, this guy's a super conservative, you know, he's a nice guy, probably straight, narrow, Republican, the whole bit. And they're probably right to some extent. But I tell you what, when I tell them the classes I take and what we do in our spare time with ghost investigations, they're floored. They are floored. And I tell you what, when you make a connection like we've done just recently, it's just, it turns your world upside down. Now you're sitting there saying, maybe I don't have to only talk to some of the idiots I come in contact with during the day. Maybe these people that I'm talking to, you know, maybe there is a different side of them, a relative that's been busting their chops from the spirit side, and we don't know about it. You know, you don't know. But I tell you what, just what we went through last night, Jackie, it was phenomenal. It was really good.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm just hoping that more people come to the classes so that more people can enjoy what we had. The end.
Well, you know, when I tell people about it, they say, well, how do you know? And they always want tangible proof. And my proof is just that I know. There's no doubt in my mind, I know. And I can't quantitate that for you or, you know, draw a picture or, you know, play a recording. No, it doesn't come that way. But I know. And I really don't care what people think. It makes me feel good.
Oh,
I
by
know
the
that
way.
My dad, yeah?
By the way, do you know what I'm holding in my hand?
A pendulum.
No. I'm holding my Jasper egg.
You what?
I'm in a very good place right now.
Oh, okay.
Anyway, that's an inside joke.
Jackie got some new pendulums today, too. So, have you ever done pendulum work?
I did. I think I need more work on it because with me, well, I don't know. One time we did pendulum work in the back room there at the shop, and if Dana is listening, she'll tell you. I thought I was holding it as steady as I could, and even if I wanted to shake it, I don't think I could shake it the way this thing was jumping around. It wasn't swaying left to right or to and fro. It wasn't doing any of that. It wasn't circling. It was actually at the end of the chain and shaking, like vibrating. And I didn't know what that meant. All I thought was, well, somebody's here, and I guess he's pretty excited. He just can't make his mind up to say yes, no, or maybe. So, but it was pretty cool. But you, I don't get answers like you do. When you use your pendulum, you get definitive answers. Right?
Well, yeah, I do. And mine shakes, too, right before I get an answer. I don't know which way it's going to go, but it starts vibrating, and I can see the whole thing vibrating, and then it'll move. And the last time I did this was a new development. Every time I asked a question, my fingers would pulse as I was holding. Yeah. And then as soon as I started getting an answer, the pulsing would stop. So, but I would try to guess what the answer would be in my head, you know, or what I would like the answer to be, and it doesn't always work out, so that way I know I'm not influencing it too much.
Right.
So, I never really, when I first started doing it, I wasn't, you know, wasn't that confident in what the answers were, but
right.
I do. I talk to a lot, though. I talk to, if there's a Native American around here somewhere, I'll get those. And I don't know why, but they seem to want to talk
There's
to me.
There's one in the store.
So, but I like talking to them, especially the ones that were here before any of, you know, this stuff was here. So.
And they like talking to you.
I don't know. I hope so. But when we were doing that firehouse and I was talking to one in there, he said he lived in a village where the firehouse was, but now he just hangs out, and he goes on the trucks with them, and he goes to the fires with them. That's what he told me.
Damn. Is this the one with Mark?
Yes.
All right.
But I asked him, I said, do you just stay here in the firehouse? He said, no. And that's the thing with a pendulum, you have to learn just to ask yes or no questions. And, oh my God, spirit's awake. But anyway, so, you know, I asked if he just hung out at the firehouse all the time, and he said no. And then I said, do you ever go out with him on the trucks? And I got a real big yes. So I guess after several hundred years, he is, you know, taking advantage of all the modern stuff. I don't know if he puts on any of the equipment, though. That would look kind of freaky. So, you still there, Charlie?
Oh, I'm still here. I'm just listening. I'm enjoying the whole conversation.
Okay.
Yep.
But I was also talking to a Native American at the Mini Sink battlefield that we went to. So. So you have any more stories there, Charlie?
Well, I did. The first time I ever really got anything was when we were in the shop again, and I ended up getting to talk to my mom. And Jackie said to me, she knew I was talking to her. She told me I was going to be talking to her. And she led us through this guided meditation and where we were supposed to be walking and going through the area and the fields with the house and, you know, the tall grass. And I mean, it was all, you know, all very well guided. But what was amazing to me was that, you know, I saw my mom. And when I did see her, we sat there, and I was, you know, in the back of your mind, you're expecting how the conversation's going to go. And you're thinking, well, I'm going to say this, she's going to say that. And, you know, you're orchestrating it. And that's not exactly what happens. If you're thinking it out and you're getting the answers you're thinking about, you probably are orchestrating it. If you're asking a question and you're getting an answer that wasn't orchestrated, you're probably talking to her. And basically that's what happened. I ended up asking my mom a few things. She ended up talking to me about things that I didn't ask about. And you sit there and you're like, wow, she's actually saying things to me, answers that I didn't expect. And it seems like the more you do it, the easier it gets. Now, I told Jackie that that was pretty interesting when I talked to my mom. I had also been driving to work one day, and my uncle started talking to me. And I knew it was my uncle just by his voice. I mean, it was like he was still alive and sitting right next to me, or sitting at a barbecue or something. It was just amazing. And you sit there again, and you're wondering, I guess you're always going to wonder to some extent, am I really getting through, or is this just fake? You know, am I wanting it so bad? But I tell you, when it happens, it just changes everything. It makes you think about a lot of things. And my uncle spoke to me, and it was only for about 5 or 10 minutes in the car, tops. And I tell you what, that was something. But then there was one more time that was even more special. And Jackie knows this one really well, because I was driving to the airport to pick up my brother-in-law. Brother-in-law and sister-in-law, who flew in from Florida, because their brother, my brother-in-law, had just passed away. And passed away about a day or two before that. So they flew up to help take care of things. And I'm driving down the New Jersey Turnpike towards the airport. And my brother-in-law, his name is Ricky, he starts talking to me. And, well, let me tell you what proceeded to talking to. First, I've got my cell phone on me. And I could hear, I've got Bluetooth, so I could hear through the radio. And all of a sudden, my cell phone, it's in the console of the car. It starts ringing like I just called somebody's phone number. And I didn't touch the phone. And I look at it, and it's calling my mother's old phone number that's about 8 years old. Now, my mom passed away.
Do you still have that number in your phone?
Well, yeah. You know, right. What can I tell you?
It's the government trying to get your mother.
Well, this time it worked for me, because I looked at it and I saw it was calling my mom. And I picked it up real quick and I hung up. I was like, what the hell's wrong with this phone? What the hell's going on? And I put the phone down, and who starts talking to me but my dead brother-in-law, Ricky. We never really talked much. He was a few years older than me. He never left the house with his mom. He never got married. He's one of these guys that would have the gold cigarette case, but, you know, no money in his pocket, one of those. And not that there's anything wrong with that. It's just the fact that whenever we had a conversation, it was just like, hey, how you doing? One of those jobs. He starts talking to me, and I'm shocked. And the only thing I could think about asking him was, how is it over there? And he said to me, because he had a lot of problems here when he was alive, monetary problems, you know, everything. And he says, then he goes, oh, it's great here. And I said, so what do you mean by great? You know, you're holding the harp? I don't know what I said, something like that. And he sits there and he goes, no, everybody helps you. He says, no matter what you need, somebody helps you to get what you need. He says, and in doing that, when somebody else comes down, now he was only there a couple of days, he says, in doing that, he says, when somebody else comes, you want to help them. Just to get going. And I'm like, what do you mean? He says, there's no problems anymore. He says, all the problems are gone. All my problems, they're all gone. He says, there's no problems. Everything's fine. And he's talking to me, and I'm listening to him, and I'm like, what the hell am I doing? I'm in the car. I'm driving to pick up my brother-in-law and his wife, and I'm talking to his dead brother. How am I going to explain this? So I didn't. I called Jackie. Jackie said to me, the only reason it was validated was because your mother's phone number rang and he knew you would you would pay attention to that. You'd be in tune with the fact that he was going to talk to you when he did. So I was shocked, right? I come home. I don't tell anybody anything because he's only dead a couple of days, and here I am. I talked to your brother. Oh, really? Hey, how's it going? So, I waited, and then I told my wife because it was her brother, and I said, okay, look, I don't want you to be spooked. I don't want you to be scared. I don't want you to think I'm nuts. I said, but you know, I've been taking the psychic development courses, and I think I talked to your brother. She goes, what do you mean? I said, I talked to your brother. I was driving down to pick Johnny and Pat up. I said, and in the car, my phone rang, was ringing. It was calling out to my mother's home phone number. I said, and I turned it off because it spooked me, and then all of a sudden your brother started talking to me. And she goes, really? I said, yeah. Now, she believed it, and she eventually told her mom about this because her mom's elderly, and she would probably get some comfort from it. But you know what else is interesting here is my wife is not taking psychic development. She's not taking anything like that. She sort of believes. She doesn't believe. You know, she's one of these people. And she sits there, and she's in our family room. My mother-in-law is sitting in her wheelchair, and she sees these two sparkly things, not one, but two sparkly things underneath the coffee table. And she goes over to pick them up, and they're two diamond earrings. Now, I don't know about anybody else, but we don't have diamond earrings just falling all over the place around my house. maybe some people do, but I don't. And my wife picks them up, and she says to my mother-in-law, she says, hey, look at these. And my mother-in-law starts crying. And Sandy says, what's the matter? She goes, those are my earrings I haven't seen in about 20 years. Now, there's no way for them to get from her house to my house. We're about 50 miles apart. She's living up here with me. She didn't bring any of that up with her. Even if she had it, she hadn't seen it in 20 years. And my wife's sister, and she says, I bet you Ricky put them there. That's her deceased brother. And I was like, what? She goes, yeah, I bet you he put them there. So now she's getting on the bandwagon. Now, those were my mother-in-law's earrings. I can't tell you how many times we have found a dime and a penny together somewhere on the floor, a dime and a penny. And every time my wife finds it, she says, she goes, oh, these are from Ricky. And I don't know what the significance is, except for the fact that he didn't have much, but he's still trying to give us something. But a dime and a penny. Jackie, you got any idea on that?
Yes, the spiritual number.
It's what?
11. 11. The number.
What about it?
You always see 11-11. You always see people putting up like 11-11. That means it's like your spiritual awareness is.
Really?
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Mm-hmm. Look up the number 11, like the spiritual meaning of the number 11.
No kidding. Wow, I learned something here right now. I'm not even in class. it's just amazing because, you know, there's so many people. I mean, you know, I was lucky to get through on the phones tonight because I know how many people you got calling in. But it's just amazing to me. It's just amazing to me for the fact that, you know, all these people get all of these signs and they probably don't ask what they mean. They probably don't think about what they mean. And they could be talking to somebody if they just listen. You know, all they got to do is listen. Jackie, you talk to your mom all the time, right?
What, Charlie?
You talk to your mom all the time, don't you?
Yeah.
I mean, yeah. You know, that's all it takes. You talk to them. They're there. You talk to them.
Well,
and you know what? They do listen. All of these people listen. And making that spiritual contact is something else. You just got to keep listening and keep talking. And it's,
yeah.
That's all that matters, you know? Whether people believe or not, It doesn't matter any make any difference if they believe it or not. It's if you believe it or not.
It's kind of hard to make up that information.
What?
It's kind of hard to just make up that kind of information, especially if it's your own relative, you know?
Well, it is. It is. But you know how people are constantly just, they'll try to make an excuse for anything. If they don't understand it, instead of trying to find out what it means, they'll make an excuse, and that'll be it. So, I mean, you know, the non-believers, some of them will always be a non-believer. The believers, they'll probably always be believers. And the people like me that didn't believe, there's still chance, there's still hope. You know, there's still a chance that maybe just somewhere along the line, something's going to happen where they're going to get an experience and they're going to say, wow, that can't be coincidence. It just can't be. And, I mean, when we go on our ghost hunts and you hear something or somebody says something or we're talking and we stop talking and then we hear ourselves talking and we're not talking,
yeah.
There's something there, something really interesting there. But I think I'm jeopardizing your show here. Come on.
Are you going to stay on the line, Charlie?
Yeah, I'll stay on.
Because Vera's hanging out, too, so she wants. We're trying to get her on with you.
Oh, well, if I stay on, does that mean she doesn't get on? Because I'll stay on, then.
No, stay on. You can stay on.
Yeah, I was going to say, if she's staying on means she won't get on, then I'll stay on.
I think I'm on.
Hey, there you are, Vera.
Vera, on?
Yes, I am. Are you, Charlie?
Oh, I thought if I stayed on, you couldn't get on.
No. at least I know that now, anyway.
Yeah, not now, sure.
Yeah. Well, Charlie and I have a totally different way of interacting because I don't hear much. I see pictures, you know?
Yep.
And, or I use some of the equipment that we have to interact. You know, Dave and I had a whole conversation going at that one ghost hunt with just the K2 meter, responding to yes, no questions or questions about, you know, when you give, like, are you a female? Make it light up for yes. You know, we were able to speak with a young girl right there in the Trinity Metaphysical. And, you know, I reviewed the tape, and it's kind of stunning when you look at it, you know, how you can interact in such a, with just your little K2 meter. But basically, when we do our psychic development, I see things in pictures, and I always wear my Moldavite. That was the other thing you had asked me about, you know, or is there anything that I use? And I like to always have Moldavite with me. I find that that helps me get centered and be receptive to what's going on. And occasionally I do hear things in my ear, but not often. David's the clairaudient person, not I. But I wish I could have conversations, Charlie. How do you do that?
It's just, you know, it's funny. I didn't think it was possible. And then all of a sudden, a voice comes into my head. And the first time it happened, I was dumbstruck. All of a sudden, I had no questions. I couldn't ask anything. I was just interested in listening. And then we got done, and basically Jackie says, you know, Did you hear anything? Yeah. Did you ask any questions? No. And it was almost like, why not? And you're like, didn't know I could. Well, guess what? If you can hear them, they can hear you. So all you have to do is basically you can verbalize it. You can say it in your mind. You can answer them, you know, through your mind. And that's basically what I do. I just sit there and I listen, and then I try to put myself into the conversation. And I'm not saying that, you know, I'm the best conversationalist, but you know what? You don't have to be. These are the same people that you knew, that you're talking to, that you knew when they were here. Now they're just there, and they want to talk to you as badly as you want to talk to them. So if you sit there and you just, in your mind, you talk, they'll answer you. It's amazing. You sit there and they will answer you. And I'm sitting there saying to myself, is this really me? I still get, every so often I still get that, boy, is this really me? Am I really hearing this? Like last night, the little kid was talking to me. And I'm sitting there going, come on. You know, kid's talking to me, and he goes over and he kicks Diane. What the heck is that? You know, this is some kid. But the kid had the feeling like he knew where he was. He said, how come you're not looking at me? Because I have my eyes closed. And he says, and he goes, why don't we play? And then he goes, I can play by myself. And then he sits there and he goes, well, you know, follow me. And he laughs. And I didn't say anything. And he goes, I know you can't. And I was like, what? I was just so amazed at the answers I was getting that it was just one of these situations where I didn't want to ask him too much because I didn't want to scare him away. But I was just so flabbergasted with what he was saying to me. It was just amazing. Sometimes you get caught up in the moment. And I wish it didn't happen to me. Hopefully, the longer I go, the less caught up I'll get, and I'll be able to be more like Jackie and, you know, actually have half a brain and hold a conversation with some of these people.
Well, you know, but what you do, Charlie, is you, when you're doing your mediumship, you just know you're going to get answers. So you don't put any, like, expectations. You just know.
Yeah. Well, I have been doing that lately. You know, you said you have to expect it, and if you expect it, something's going to happen.
Yeah, I mean,
and, you know, I have started doing that, and it does make a big difference. But again, with clear mind, you got to have a clear mind, a relaxed mind, and you just got to let it come to you. Because if you try too hard, then your thoughts get in the way, and I'm telling you, nothing happens there.
And you should have to stop trying too hard.
Yep. Mm-hmm. That's exactly it.
I never try to talk to any of my deceased relatives.
No?
No, never. It's like, you know, I don't have any brothers or sisters, and my parents are both deceased, and my grandparents, but I've never, ever even tried to contact anybody. You know, the only contact I've ever had is with people I don't know. That when we go on these investigations, I was with Jackie at the firehouse, and we had a whole conversation with some guy that got killed by the fire engine. Do you remember that?
Oh yeah, that's right.
And we were like using the K2 meter, going back and forth. It was pretty, it's pretty awe-inspiring when you're carrying on a conversation. But I've never tried it with any relatives. I don't know if I consciously never did that, or if I just am content in the fact that I know that everybody's all right and I, you know, don't need to contact them. I'm more interested in helping other spirits or learning about new things. But no, never, ever tried to contact anybody. And then there's Mercedes, who knows my mother's birthday. Like she's
that was amazing.
I was like, what? That was
really amazing.
Yeah, that kind of gets.
Mercedes knew your mommy's birthday.
Yeah, it made all the hair on my arm. I was like,
sorry,
oh, no. What, Mercedes?
I said sorry.
It was pretty weird. And then I think 2 weeks ago, you knew my father and my grandfather's name.
Your grandfather's name came to me.
And my father, you said Daniel.
Yeah, Daniel Vincent is what I got.
Yeah, and my father and grandfather are both named Daniel. So it was really weird. But there you go. That's what happened.
People, Vera.
Well,
hey, Vera, does Dave ever say he's talked to anybody?
He doesn't say it, but I know people talk to him. I know Jackie's dad talked to him once when we're all supposed to be meditating, and Dave's, like, talking to Jackie's father, you know.
Yeah.
You know, what? He get my dad.
What?
You're right. That's right.
He did, and he said, your father told me to tell you to bring a picture of him so I could see what he looked like when he was young, to see if it's the same person. And you brought the picture in, and you said, yeah, that's him. That's what Dave said. That's him. Right. Yeah, Dave's gone from being like, I'll drive Vera to psychic development to, you know, being clairaudient and,
yeah.
You know, being like a medium. He's really, like, astounded me. I think he's astounded himself, you know.
Yep.
So,
well, Mark got Diane's cat.
Yeah.
Like, behind her head.
It's pretty, it's a good energy when we're in psychic development, too, because everybody's got a positive vibration going on. We're all there. Like, I turned to you, and I said, I see a dot of light. Could you check it out, Charlie? And just, is there a dot of light over in the corner? And you go, no, I don't. Oh, my God, I do see something, you know. Like, and then David goes, no, I don't. Oh, my gosh, I see it, too, you know. It was like one of the, went right down the thing. It's fun, right down the line of us staring over there. It's kind of interesting, you know, when we're all there together. I think we, I don't want to say we conjure it up, but because of all the energy, we encourage it, you know, to come out. And it's like what we do on investigations.
Yeah.
You know, we all have something that we're good at, you know, and our energy is good. And we seem to be able to use that to our benefit to help people and help spirits. So that's really why I'm doing it. So I don't know about you guys, but that's...
Speaking about the spirits, though, like this coming Saturday, we're doing an investigation here.
Right.
How do you think you're going to do? What are you going to do? Are you going to try to listen, or are you going to try to use
your meter?
What are you going to do?
I can't wait. I think it's going to be great. I have kind of, Mercedes and I have a weird kind of energy together, so I'm dying to go there. And
what do you mean by weird?
When I put my hands on Mercedes' head yesterday, and it was like an energy Reiki kind of thing, I didn't feel like there was anyone there. It didn't feel like there was anything under my hands. I don't think I told you that. I told Mercedes that. I put my hands on her head. I said, Mercedes, please don't take this the wrong way, but I didn't feel anything under my hands. There was like your head wasn't there, and she's like looking at me. It's a weird kind of, maybe we knew each other in a past life kind of thing. It's like a, and she always gets something from me every time she meditates. You know,
it'll be interesting to see what's in our house then.
Yeah, I know. That's why I'm looking forward to it. And actually, I think Dave is too. You know, those places in the town where she lives, they're so old and probably have a lot of energy floating around. So very, very interesting. So I'm excited to go. Are you, Charlie?
Yes.
Hello.
Are you?
I
you're going to go, right? You're excited.
I can't wait. I think that if we just walked around the entire town down there, we'd probably be getting something.
Probably.
Yeah. I know the people in my apartment are not going to be shy because they never leave me alone. So you guys are going to get something, I'm sure. Even in my kitchen particularly. Actually, I'm not going to tell you who's in my kitchen because I want to see if you get it. So never mind. But it is a family member, and I know that she's there. So
they're not going to be throwing knives at us, are you?
As a joke. She was a jokester, but...
Oh, yeah, Diane.
For you, Diane.
Yeah, I get that a lot.
Diane gets kicked in the butt. She doesn't get knifed.
She has to be kicked in the butt. You don't get knifed. Yeah,
we have to just make sure we don't take anything to her apartment. That's, you know, from like the office or the, you know, Trinity down there, you know, we have things. I wonder if some of us just, you know, ever bring things with us to any of these investigations.
That's why we do the prayer ahead of time, and that's why everybody's supposed to not come unless they're in like a good place.
Right.
You know, if they have any junk going on. I mean, for the most part, I think a lot of us get ourselves into a pretty good place before we go on.
I don't think people realize how seriously we take it.
Yeah. Yeah, we do a good job.
Well, Charlie always says he has an army with him. That's why I kind of said that.
Yeah, sometimes I think I'm ruining it for everybody else only for the fact that I think my army scares some people away.
So tell him to back down.
I don't want to do that. I don't want to keep him around me.
Do you? Are you confident nothing could harm you?
Absolutely.
Yeah, so am I.
Yeah,
and as one person once said to me, there's a fine line between self-confidence and cockiness. But, you know, I feel pretty self-confident when we go on these that nothing's going to hurt me or be able to impair me in any way. And I guess that's the way you feel, Charlie, right?
Pretty much. You know, you sit there and, like you said, cockiness or confidence, there's a lot of people out there that are cocky. When you're doing an investigation like we do, I don't know if any one of us would have cocky on an investigation. I think we were all there with ears wide open, eyes wide open, hoping to hear anything or see something. But when you sit there and I think it means a lot when you have a confidence when you don't think anything can touch you, because if that's the case, you're building your little bubble around you as is, you know, depending upon where you get your confidence from, whether it's the spirits that are following you around, God, you know, you name it. Maybe it's one of your archangels, whatever. You got that confidence with you. You know, sometimes you get a little spook here and there, not like the guys on TV that run away like little girls when they see something. But I mean, you know, if you have some confidence and, you actually want to do an investigation and you want to see something and you want to find out why or who or where.
We want to see
sure.
them. We don't away from them.
What's that?
You're like, where?
I think also it comes from having a confidence in your team members, too, you know.
Yeah.
Oh, absolutely.
Like, I know what you're capable of and Diane's capable of and Dana and Ron. I know there's an army with me that's going to be right there if something happens. And, you know, there's going to be a certain amount of people that I can depend on, you know, for anything that happens. You know, when Ron's recording from one angle and I'm from another, I'll be interacting with him saying, do you have that? Do you need me to take over? We have that interaction, and I think everybody works really well together.
You know, I'm glad you brought that up, because when we are out there and some, you know, we are hardly ever all in the same room unless we, you know, we're planning to do that at one particular point. But when we're all out there and everybody's getting a different sense for a particular area, like in a house or an estate, like when we did down in Pennsylvania or whatever, you sit there and you say, wow, when people get the same feelings or they get the same answers or whatever, it's a confirmation that, you know, you're doing the right thing, you're getting the right answers. I don't know too many groups that are like ours that basically can get confirmation from room to room to room when nobody's in the same room at the same time.
Yeah.
You know?
That happens with us a lot.
Oh, it happens all the time.
Right.
You sit there and you talk about talking to the spirits. Well, how about them talking to us? You know, when you walk into a room and there's maybe three or four in a group, and then those people leave the room and another group goes in there, and they get the same feelings, or they get the same type of recordings, the same answers, or whatever.
But
that's what's amazing.
Here's the interesting thing. I can go in with a K2 meter, have a conversation, ascertain whether it's a male or female and the age, walk out, and then someone else can go in and have a pendulum and be just getting psychic messages and get the exact same information. And that happened in the investigation we did a couple weeks ago at Trinity, you know, with Dana's group and with Dave and I in two different groups, you know. We got all the same answers. It's just using different means, which I think is really interesting. I think it's a a good, I think it shows us that we're doing the right thing no matter which one of us is doing what. We seem to all be on the same page, which I think is unusual, you know, and very good.
Absolutely.
I'm proud of us.
Well, I'm proud of you, too.
All right. There you go. Is anybody here besides Charlie and I, by the way?
Yeah. we're just letting you guys take over.
All right, well, those short naps are great, right?
Yeah, we are.
The one thing we did want to mention this week is that the Parry Unity Expo is next Saturday on May 30th. And that's 10 to 6 p.m., and we will be there, our paranormal grouping trip, and also...
Where's
Trinity
it located?
Physical. It is at the Art Factory in Paterson, New Jersey, on 70 Spruce Street. And they do have a website, www.NewJerseyParryUnityExpo.com.
Now, do they have a limit as far as how many people can go into the building? Because, you know, it sounds like there's going to be a huge crowd.
I think they'll fit us. There's like three, four floors, I think.
Oh, okay. Because when I'm talking to Dave Giuliano about it, he sits there and he says they're just hoping that they have enough room. Right now it just sounds like a ton of people are going to go there. Maybe they should have done it at the Coliseum in New York or something.
That'll be next year.
I think they kept the price really low, too, and that's encouraging people to go also, which, you know, there's not a lot of things where you could see so many people for, I think it's $10, isn't it?
Can you believe that? Yeah. $10.
I know, and there's some big names there, and at least in our paranormal kind of circles, people. You know, people that you whose name you know, and Jackie will be there. There'll be a bunch of people that have different abilities that'll be, like, talking and doing seminars and stuff. It's quite
Ryan
action-packed.
Sir, Jane Doherty,
right.
David Roundtree. Dave Giuliano.
And you.
And me.
I'm going to be there. I think that's why most of the people are coming. They want to see me.
That's right. That's got to be it.
Yeah. Hey, isn't it about time to talk to Pam?
Oh, Diane, Charlie says it's time to talk to Pam.
Okay, you want to talk? Well, let's hear from our friend Pam.
We wrap up.
Okay. So here's our friend Pam with her essential oils. We'll be back in a minute or two.
Hi, this is Pam from Tell Them Pam Sent You. Here to talk to you about Young Living essential oils. Are you using essential oils in your spiritual and healing practice? Are you using them for wellness and meditation? I know I am. Essential oils raise your vibration and can enhance your psychic experience. There's an undeniable movement going on right now, an awakening. And people are finding out what essential oils are and what they can do when they're used in their purest form. Their healing properties are undeniable. Young Living essential oils are among the top 4% in the world, never cut with synthetics or additives. They're planted, harvested, distilled, and bottled by the same company. That's the Young Living seed-to-seal process. Current labeling policy for essential oils requires that for a bottle to say 100% pure, get ready for this, it only has to contain 5% essential oil. Can you ingest your lavender or frankincense? Take a look at your bottles. If they say do not ingest, not for human consumption, do not ingest. And don't put it on your skin. Use Young Living therapeutic grade essential oils. They truly are 100% pure. Free of chemicals, pesticides, and heavy metals. You deserve the best. Your clients deserve purity, not oils cut with fragrance. What's in your wellness kit? Can you apply your peppermint and your lavender now freely, knowing the difference? Please contact me for more information. Pam Jordan at VibrantSense.com. That's www.PamJordan.VibrantSense.com. SCENTS.com and look me up on Facebook. Look for Tell Them Pam Sent You. Get ready for this.
And we're back again. And if you are interested in the essential oils, you can also find those here at the Trinity Metaphysical Center as well. And once again, our phone number here is 973-209-7070. So before we wrap up for tonight, what are we going to be doing next week?
Next week we're going to talk about different abilities and which ones are each of our favorite or what we're good at, whether it's something with ghost hunting or mediumship, clairvoyance. Vera's really good at astral travel. So which one we feel is like maybe our favorite or what we're best at right now. So
we hope you all tune in next week, and feel free to call in. The number here is 347-633-9648 for the radio show. So until next week, this is Diane saying goodbye.
Jackie.
Ron.
Mercedes.
And Charlie and Vera. You still there? So good night, everyone.
Good night.
Bye.
Thank you.